Arizona's news station, KTAR News on 92.3 FM. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
I'm in the habit of making fun of things that, allegedly, stable geniuses tweet in the middle of the night that are provably false. But when they mention the state of Arizona, we are trying to pay attention to it. There was a tweet, middle of the night, that involved Arizona that came from Trump that, well, quite honestly, a lot of us are having trouble figuring out what the hell he's talking about. Trump said, quote, that Arizona is bracing for a massive surge. Arizona, together with our military and border patrols, bracing for a massive surge at a non-walled area. We will not let them through. Big danger. Nancy and Chuck. Here we're back to Nancy and Chuck. Must approve border, spelled wrong, security and the wall.
Oh, look at that. I didn't notice.
Well, of course it's spelled wrong. If it's spelled wrong, it's improper syntax and it's a run-on sentence, you know he wrote it.
If there was a massive surge that the state of Arizona was bracing for, I'm going to tell you folks right now, we here at KTAR would be all over it. Now, we have been all over what has been happening along our southern border. Yes, the military has been sent down. They are training and getting ready for the potential of this. And that appears is to be where the president got some wires crossed. So last night on Fox Business News, they have one of their anchors, right? Trish Regan.
Okay.
And we believe it was her show that led to some of these late night tweets from the president. The reason being, she was talking about the Robert Mueller special counsel investigation. They're going to submit some important filings today, all right, regarding the Russia investigation.
Yeah.
And she was talking about how the FBI was weaponized in order to take down the president. Moments later, the president tweeted, "Is this really America? Witch hunt." About a minute
later. By the
later,
way, best witch hunt ever. Seriously, this is by far the best witch hunt I've ever been involved in.
About a minute later, he tweeted, "Fake news, the enemy of the people."
Yep, well, again.
She then started talking about the Custom and Border Patrol training exercise that's happening down in Tucson yesterday.
Training exercise.
Yeah. They were preparing, quote, to deal with the potential of large crowds, assault of behavior by caravan members should a situation arise.
So it was a drill.
It was definitely a drill. The U.S. Custom and Border Protection sent out a statement earlier this week saying that it conducted a joint large-scale operational readiness exercise at the port of Nogales. Okay? This happened on Wednesday. And they were advising media, the state, people of these drills. Preparing personnel in the event of a caravan from Central American migrants.
This is only a drill. This is not really happening. So we have Trump tweeting about something that is not happening, watching TV in the middle of the night, tweeting and misunderstanding what he's watching.
Yeah, that's about right.
What a shocker. What a surprise. There is no massive surge at an non-walled area along Arizona. There's no evidence of it. So, could it happen? Sure. Pigs could fly. Martians might invade. It's just not something that's happening.
So I'm trying to put this together, and I'm trying to understand how this happened. What was the president was trying to mean? I mean, this is involving Arizona and our border and immigration, which is a very important issue in our state and to our audience. So I'm really trying to understand it. So I was happy that Arizona's Morning News had invited Representative Andy Biggs on to give some perspective as to what the president was referring to. And I listened intently to try to make some sense of the madness,
okay,
right?
I'm ready.
Okay, Representative Biggs, give me some context. What is going on? Here's what he had to say, Bruce.
What we know is that some of these NGOs or these groups that have organized this caravan are trying to mass a significant group of people on the border and then kind of rush the border in vulnerable spots, some places that don't have fences, and then other places right there where there's a port of entry. But that's what he's talking about, is this massive surge that some of these folks are trying to do to make us respond.
Okay. Yeah, no, it's not, and that's not what he said. No. But anytime someone, listen, thoughts and prayers to Andy Biggs, Representative Biggs, who has to try to glean and discern what the hell the crazy tweet at 3 a.m. was about. I mean, that's not an easy job for anybody to do, you know? I mean, from English teachers who have to grade his tweets and give him D-minuses to someone who has to try to figure out what the hell is he talking about? Where the answer is nothing based in reality. How's that? And apparently, because you can time the tweets with things he's watching on Fox News, that it was video of a training exercise that he thought was real.
Well, there was the tease that the Fox Business anchor Trish Regan gave. Well, you know what, Bruce? I'll just play it for you.
Okay.
Take a listen to it yourself.
This is the tease of an upcoming story they're going to talk about.
Okay, and let's talk about it on the other side. Take a listen.
Arizona officials bracing for the potential that migrants might try and storm the border the same way they did in Tijuana just a couple weeks back. The preparation's underway right now to thwart any of these stunts.
Okay. Bracing for, may happen, saw it in Tijuana. It sounds like the Border Patrol is doing what the Border Patrol does, and they're responding to what and training for things that may happen.
But in all reality, that's what the president is saying. Arizona, together with our military and Border Patrol, is bracing for a massive surge at a non-walled area.
When you're saying bracing for a massive surge, you make it sound like it's going to happen. What the Border Patrol, which apparently we also reached out to the Border Patrol, and they said, well, we're not aware of it happening. We also plan for a variety of other things. We also train for a variety of other things, as is the job of the Border Patrol. This is not something that's happening. But you know why he's tweeting this, because it riles up the kick the Mexicans out, shoot them at the border, build a wall crowd. Of course it does. Okay, it plays right into that that narrative of demonizing these people, of course. And, you know, have to try to distract from all the court filings going on today, and more people will be indicted. Some will go to jail, and more witches will end up behind bars.
Well, when you talk about the court filings, yeah, you've got the special counsel, Robert Mueller, is set today to have some memos, some filings on both Michael Cohen as well as Paul Manafort.
Has to do with their plea agreements and their level of cooperation.
Sentencing memos for both of them are due, and that is what people are saying is kind of rattling the president,
because
we're getting some more information from the special counsel, which hasn't come out very often. So he's reacting in different ways.
Sweating like a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. How's that?
Wow.
You like that?
Something your grandma used to say? Like, what was that?
Possibly.
Okay.
It's the politer way than some of the other things.
Okay,
I say. So, you know what? The Arizona Cardinals, big win last week, Pamela, actually went up to Green Bay, won in the snow.
The frozen tundra.
Well, we always talk about how difficult it is for a quote-unquote warm weather team to go play on the frozen tundra.
Yeah.
They did just that. And this week, they're getting ready. They're getting ready for another, well, tough test. And we'll find out. Have the Cardinals turned a corner of some sort? Joining us next, he is the Cardinals radio analyst and co-host of the Doug and Wolf Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, Ron Wolfley.
It's Football Friday on the Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes Show. With Arizona Cardinals radio color analyst and co-host of the Doug and Wolf Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station, Ron Wolfley.
Wow, that is some bloody knuckle football. Lapped up like a bowl of chowder. Wow! Lowered the boom and lapped it up.
Football Friday. Brought to you by the Carol Royce Realty Team. Your home sold guaranteed, or Carol will buy it herself. Go to CarolHasTheBuyers.com.
Wolf joins us in studio. Have you defrosted from your time in Wisconsin last weekend?
I walked around in a windbreaker.
Shut the front door.
I'm from Buffalo, New York.
I'm from Buffalo, New York.
Are you kidding me?
Wisconsin in December is a warm summer day compared to Buffalo.
34 degrees,
34.
Freezing rain and snow. And
you're in a windbreaker. You've lived in Arizona long enough to be putting on a heavy coat, my friend.
You should have the double P pneumonia at this point.
Maybe I was a little jealous.
I was going to say, all right.
Well, easier road this time. You only have to drive to Glendale, and the Lions come to town this week.
Yes. You know, though, listen, this is a winnable game for the Arizona Cardinals.
Sure.
It is, and there hasn't been
a lot of those games at Green Bay last weekend, right?
Not a lot of those games you can say are winnable for the Cardinals going forward.
Were you surprised, though, that the Cardinals won at Lambeau Field last week?
I'm so glad you said that, Pamela, because I was, I have to tell you.
I think a lot
I
of folks were.
I was shocked. Listen, this is the reason why we play games. As a matter of fact, when you hear people say this,
this is the reason why we play the game.
Because
if you just by stats.
Can I just tell you that what happened in Green Bay last week with the that's exhibit A as to why we play the games.
Here, here.
Because going into that game, everything that was trending, it was all about the Packers. The Packers were desperate, right? They're playing at home in Lambeau Field.
Legendary
Lambeau Field, a must-win situation to keep their playoff hopes alive. They had not lost at home all season long. Everything was trending. They had Aaron Rodgers. The Arizona Cardinals are a warm-weather city. They're playing in a cold weather outdoor stadium. Are you kidding me? They're going to wilt. They have Josh Rosen, a quarterback from UCLA. And now we have Aaron Rodgers, the frozen tundra himself.
This is not a fair fight.
This was going to be how much were the Arizona Cardinals going to lose? Were they going to lose this game going into it? And guess what?
Yeah.
Surprise! They surprised everybody, including their color analyst, by coming out and playing at their best game of
and
the year.
Defense, you can hang a lot of that win on the defense.
The defense,
I mean,
the offense,
again, you're playing
special
against
teams, all of
Aaron Rodgers, and he's
rushed,
expected to. Yeah.
They went up to the frozen tundra and ran the ball 150 yards. Well, if you add Josh Rosen's scramble, it was 182 yards, as a matter of fact.
Wolf, I hear the excitement in your voice. I hear the shock and the surprise in your voice. Is this then, and I'm not trying to build too much of a leap off of one victory, but did you see enough on the field last week where you say, there might be a little bit of a turn in a corner somewhere?
Spark.
Yes, yes, but you know me.
Yeah.
I grew up on a dead-end street, though, okay? I've had to be an optimist, all right? I grew up on a dead-end street that emptied into a gravel pit, right?
Wow.
I saw this, and there's no doubt it was the best game they played collectively in all three phases. So I am hopeful that somehow, some way, that's going to carry over at home at State Farm Stadium, and they're going to go out and put together another good game. Now, listen, I don't know if that means they're going to win. The rest of the season, the four games they have left, guys, it really is about can they actually point to something and say, we got better at this.
At some point, we turn the corner and realize the playoffs are probably not in the cards. That we're looking for progression.
Yes.
We're looking for improvement. You're looking for individual players that say, this is going to be my position, and I deserve to play in the NFL.
We talked to Steve Keim, as a matter of fact, today, the general manager for the Arizona Cardinals. And Steve was saying, for the rest of the way, the one thing he wanted to see is who wants to be here.
Yeah.
Who wants to be
How
here?
Bad
You're playing
do you
for your job.
Here.
Who wants to be here going into 2019, and who does not?
Does that not also include the coach?
It includes everybody.
Because
and
when
Steve Keim said it about himself as well, just to be
okay.
Steve is very, very hard on himself. He always is. He's a friend of mine. I know him well. I love him dearly. But he's always been his harshest critic on himself.
And
you know what? That's true leadership to me.
I agree.
Accountability.
And you can like him, and you can love him, and he can be a wonderful guy, and you're in a results-based business.
That's exactly right.
At the end of the day, right?
He knows that
better than anybody else.
Yeah. Do the Lions pose any unique challenges? I mean, it's not a team they play very often, obviously.
Yeah.
The Lions, my perception is perennial underperformers.
Yeah. Matthew Stafford is our quarterback, right? And what a great player he has become. He has become a guy that you're building your entire franchise around, a franchise quarterback. He's put together some really good seasons. He's a poor man's Aaron Rodgers, if you will. Okay, he's got the same statue. He's got the same frame, I should say.
Big kid.
Aaron, he's a big guy. He's got a huge gun. Look, this is a team that is struggling. The Cardinals should win this game at home. If they play, it's a big if they play like they played against the Packers.
Well, and therein lies the rub. Which team shows up?
There it is.
Which team
they
shows
need,
up?
They need a performance in all three phases.
You can make an argument they play better on the road than they have at home this year.
Yeah, you could.
You can make an argument for that, right?
No, you're right about that. But the best thing, guys, I think the best thing that is trending right now for the Cardinals is the fact that Josh Rosen, not once, not twice, not three times, four times, has brought his team back in the fourth quarter. Brought him back and put him in a position where they could have won the game, or they did win the game, because he's played well in the fourth quarter.
Can I tell you what he strikes me as? And I don't know him. You're around. You're literally around him. He has that kind of relief pitcher mentality. I'm not going to say this to be a pejorative. He strikes me like a Jay Cutler with a slightly better attitude. He can go out and throw a pick, and it completely unfazes him.
He just
shows back up and goes, no problem. Next one's going right down your throat. Like, he's not that rattled kind of a quarterback. He has kind of an unflappable attitude about
it. Some would say impervious. Others would say oblivious.
Okay. Well, I'm saying, I don't know if that's a good or bad. But Jay Cutler always struck me that way. You couldn't tell if Jay Cutler threw a touchdown pass or interception. He looked the exact same way, and he was going to go do the exact same thing.
I don't think Josh Rosen is like that.
Yeah.
But once again, being a guy that was in that huddle as a former player, playing your best when it matters most, there's something to hang your hat on right there.
Yeah, and that's where also you get that leadership accolade.
And we'll see.
From that
there's
huddle.
A lot of water still needs to go into that bridge.
Absolutely. Ron Wolfley, thank you so much.
Yep. Lions here in the Valley. 2:25 kickoff. You can hear the entire game and hear Wolf. The way God intended you to hear football, by the way. On 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, you listen to the way Wolf calls the game and get the insight. We appreciate a little football.
I know people that
Friday
like turn down the television
and
try to time it to the radio so that they hear Wolf.
And you want to hear Wolf do the call instead. That's the way you want to hear it, for goodness sakes. So, does the world feel a little less safe to you today? Well, the statistics say, well, it's not true. But what are they including in the statistics, and maybe better, what are they leaving out? We'll talk about that coming up next on Arizona's News Station.
Arizona's News Station. KTAR News on 92.3 FM. Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
All right, we have to acknowledge there's still a couple weeks left in 2018, but barring some bizarre, unforeseen circumstance, the murder rate in the U.S. is set for its largest one-year drop in 5 years.
Yeah. The murder rate down big time. And, you know, they're comparing 66 large American cities. They're looking at all these different trends and kind of trying to come up with, like, a reasonable forecast. So the murder rose 23% nationally between 2014 and 2016.
And by the way, they're not sure why, any more than they're sure why it went down.
It leveled off
last
year in 2017. Okay. And then it is poised right now to take a pretty big dip.
Yeah. And
this is good.
These are good things. And it gets into, and one of the arguments that I make is, you know, that we're living in a time where, at least when it comes to violent crime or being the victim of violent crime, it's safer than almost any other time in U.S. history. The violent crime rate today is half of what it was in the 80s. So if you left your doors unlocked in the 80s and played in the let your kids play in the park at 11 o'clock at night, and today have tethers on them and you have four deadbolts, well, you've missed out on the stats.
Well, I think a lot of people miss out on the stats. I don't think most people walk around being acutely aware of what the murder rate is in the United States.
That's why I'm telling you.
They are aware of the constant bombardment of negative news stories that are coming via the news, via social media. You know, they're getting the push alert notifications on their phone. So what they're experiencing as far as what they're reading and becoming aware of isn't in line with the statistical data. So you've got the emotional aspect of it that doesn't line up with the analytical side of it. And I get why that happens. And that's why these things are important to talk about. I understand why people may not feel as safe. Well, because you're being constantly told that you're not with the negative news that's out there. But when you take a look at this study, Bruce, there was something else that really jumped out to me. Last year, in 2017, you had what was considered the largest mass shooting in U.S. history that took place in
Las Vegas, the Mandalay Bay shooting, the country concert. Yes.
So the murder rate in Las Vegas is roughly the same this year, okay? According to their police department.
The Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department says our murder rate is unchanged. Okay.
Here's the thing, though.
Right.
They don't take into account the 60 people that died.
758, yeah.
At Mandalay Bay.
They don't count in Las Vegas's murder rate.
How is that possible?
How can you do that? You get to pick and choose which are real murders?
Which murders we count and which ones we don't?
If they all happen at once, they don't? If they're only individual murders, we count them?
I don't quite understand that.
I don't
You're not
slightest.
Factoring in the country's largest mass shooting into your homicide statistics.
Do school shootings count in murder rates? Why wouldn't they? Well, I guess a murder is a murder is a murder is a murder type thing. A loss of life that is done by a criminal act by another person. How are you distinguishing between these different murders, saying, well, come on, that doesn't count. They all happen at once. No, that still counts. That counts.
Yeah, and try explaining that to family and loved ones
Well. Good point. Yeah, the murder of your family member doesn't count in our murder statistics. You know what it strikes me as?
What?
My spidey senses again.
Oh, yeah. They've been just like going off today.
The city of Las Vegas, which of course has its own Metropolitan Police Department, doesn't want to include something like that in their stats because it makes their city look worse.
Sure.
Because the headline would be,
of
murder
course.
Rate spikes in Las Vegas up 180% because of a mass shooting. And so they're like, well, let's just not count those numbers. And then our murder rate stays the same. Ding, 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 ding.
But it did happen.
Oh, no, it's real.
And it should be included because it happened in your city. Now, I'm not necessarily holding Las Vegas responsible for it. The responsibility lies at the feet of the shooter. But it doesn't negate the fact that it actually happened.
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
So it is fair to say that anytime people are talking about these stats, you have to look at and dig a little deeper and go, well, what are you including in those stats? And why?
Now, the FBI actually did include that.
The FBI does include them. Las Vegas police said, no, that doesn't count.
So, I mean,
FBI says it counts.
But again, I don't know how many people are actually combing through these statistics before they choose where they're going on vacation. What does the Metropolitan Police say versus what does
the
FBI?
Let me help
Nobody
you.
Nobody does
if
that.
If you live in fear and you believe that the United States is more dangerous today and people are being murdered, I would argue compared to what? Because compared to the 80s, it's half.
Yes. Intellectually, I think people can understand
that. You are twice as safe today. Twice as safe.
People don't feel twice as safe. And the reason I believe people don't feel twice as safe is because the 80s did not have 24-hour news cycles.
But
the 80s did not have social media. People had to read the newspaper or watch the 11 o'clock news the next day. You weren't constantly being bombarded with negativity and then
the
shaping
facts.
The way that you view the world.
Here are the numbers. Here are the facts. What do you choose to do with them? Ignore them and go with your feelings or live in a world of facts?
It's not ignoring and going with your feelings. I don't think you're acknowledging that people aren't making the choice to ignore the facts and go with their feelings. Feelings are feelings. People are human beings. They're going to have them one way or another. And when you're constantly reading about and being bombarded with negativity, that's what you're focusing on. That's what you see in the world. And it may not be reality that's based in statistical data. I can accept that. But I think that because of the way we consume news and how much we're getting on a daily basis can skew reality.
I'll give you that. But my argument is, once you are presented with the facts, what do you choose to do with them? If you believe that the moon is made out of green cheese and we go to the moon and find out, oh, my God, it's a huge rock and it comes back, you can still you now have facts to determine how you feel about it. You can ignore the facts that the moon is actually not made out of green cheese, or you can continue to believe it is.
I think you're absolutely negating how the human mind works and how you digest information and how you store that information.
I know
and recall
we're safer
that
today
information.
Than we've ever been.
Hey, hats off to you. You get the gold star for the day. Have you subscribed to the Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes Show podcast? Subscribe right now on your iPhone, Android. You'll never miss the show. It's the Bruce St. James, Pamela Hughes podcast brought to you this week by Timeshare Termination Team.
I see movies, except for the scary ones, so you don't have to, and we have some good ones in the theaters now. Yeah, there are obviously some good ones and some new ones opening up. We're getting down to the push around Christmas time. They know you got family in town. They know you want to go see movies. I'll tell you about some of the ones opening up. That's coming up next on Arizona's News Station.
Bruce tells you what you need to see and what you can most definitely skip at the theater this week. It's Bruce St. James.
All right, we got a lot of good ones opening, including one that I think you are going to hear a lot about. It is the yearly kind of artsy-fartsy movie that everyone likes and nobody sees, okay? But we're going to talk about it either way. This is the new one. I can't pronounce his name, Pamela. Every time I struggle with the director's name, so hold on.
Alfonso Cuarón.
Alfonso Cuarón.
I feel like you're taking a Spanish course right now.
Alfonso Cuarón.
Okay.
Alfonso Cuarón. He won an Oscar for Best Director for the movie Gravity a few years ago, which was, again, this visually amazing film. And this is, the movie is called Roma. And it is set in 1970s Mexico City. And it is a story of a, I guess you'd call it a middle-class family that has its own issues and struggling. Apparently, he's one of the little boys in the family. But the movie's not told through the little boy. The movie's told through the housekeeper, nanny, cook, cleaner, who is indigenous, stands out, doesn't look as European as they are, and kind of her individual struggle and what it's like to live these two different lives. The movie is beautiful. I don't know any other way to describe it. Beautiful. This is the type of movie. Now, if you don't like going to art galleries and looking at works of art, you would not like this film. Because for me, this is almost 2 hours of like looking at these amazing scenes. Stevie Z has actually seen Roma. How did you go see Roma?
I saw it at the Scottsdale Film Festival.
Okay.
Several weeks ago.
Can you describe? I don't know how you describe. It's in Spanish.
Sure. It's all in Spanish. It's black and white.
It was filmed in color and they made it into black and white for whatever reason.
This is not the movie that I would typically go to.
Oh, of course not.
However,
there's no car chases.
The funny thing is, the premise of the movie is really unimpressive. Like, you just, I mean, it's just a housekeeper, right?
A year in the life. I gotta read it.
A year in the life of a family
in
Mexico City.
But here's the thing, there are so many huge things that happen in this person's life that are visually appealing, even though the movie is in black and white and all Spanish.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It is a work of art. There's no two ways around it. It is the type of movie that you very well will see. I think he's going to win Best Director. It is stunning to look at, breathtaking at times. Roma, on the 1 to 5 scale, it's a 5. It's an amazing, amazing movie, and one that I think people will talk about for decades. The next one is another movie, and this is the second one this year that deals with a teenager and addiction. It's called Ben Is Back.
You get a day. This time tomorrow, you are back in sober living.
Yeah, okay.
You do not leave my sight ever, because for the next 24 hours, you are mine, all mine. Got it?
I got it.
Hey, Burns! I thought you were dead.
Holy fire!
Oh my God!
I put my family in danger.
This is on you.
So that's Lucas Hedges. He's kind of one of the upcoming It actors. He plays the teenager. That was Julia Roberts, who's mom in this.
Yeah,
He comes home for the holidays. He's obviously been in sober living. He's been through rehab a couple times. He's been addicted to opioids and then heroin. we've heard this story. If you've dealt with addiction in your life, this is another one of these movies where you'll nod along and go, yep, seen that. The deception, the guilt.
Is it real in that
guilt.
Sense?
It has. The other one was called Beautiful Boy with Steve Carell. I thought that one dealt with it in a more raw manner. Okay. This one has a little bit of the Hollywood to it. And I would argue that the movie kind of falls apart when it becomes like a crime story about finding out who his dealer is and this and the other. Still, it's got a lot of solid pieces to it and some great acting. The movie's called Ben Is Back, dealing again with addiction in a family. I gave it a 4 out of 5. The last one I got for you is the story, apparently the true story, as much as we know, of Mary, Queen of Scots.
With heaven's blessing, we bring an heir to Scotland and to England. Do not play into their hands. Our hatred is precisely what they hope for.
I know your heart has more within it than the men who counsel you.
You would do well to watch your words.
I will not be scolded by my inferior.
Your inferior.
Yeah, we got to go back to like the 1500s is when this Mary, Queen of Scots, was the Queen of France at age 16. She was widowed at age 18. Instead of remarrying and staying on that side of the continent, she shows back up on the English Isle, on the continent of Great Britain, where there already is a queen, Queen Elizabeth. And this is like a real-life Game of Thrones. It's Game of Thrones without dragons. Mary, Queen of Scots, shows kind of the... Here's what's unique about it. Two strong female leads. Miss Ronan, who plays Mary, Queen of Scots, and Margot Robbie, who plays Queen Elizabeth. So you have these two strong, great female actors pitted against one another. They're technically related by blood because they're both royals, but there can only be one queen on the island. And who's it going to be? And apparently, again, this is all about a pretty true story about Mary, Queen of Scots, going to what she believed was her rightful throne in England, and Queen Elizabeth, who vehemently disagreed at times. Yet they tried to get along. They tried to make it work. They understood the strife it caused. It's a very beautiful movie, too. It looks really amazing. And again, it's Game of Thrones without the dragons. You know, it's got that palace intrigue to it. Mary, Queen of Scots, excellent film. I gave it a 4.5 out of 5. Roma is a 5. Ben Is Back is a 4. And Mary, Queen of Scots, a 4.5. Some really good movies out there in the theaters right now. I hope you enjoy them and get out there and see some of them. All right. The Phoenix Suns are looking for your money, taxpayer dollars, to renovate the stadium in downtown, the arena. The Phoenix City Council says they're going to vote on Wednesday. We're going to find out what's behind the vote. Why so quick? That's coming up next on Arizona's News Station.